Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. This should be a pretty good show. Like we mentioned during the crosstalk, comedian Robert Klein will join us later. Both Wendy and I, huge fans of Robert Klein's. Hope you are, too. We'll have a strange hitchhiking story for you.
That it is strange.
An unlikely celebrity.
With a local guy.
Yeah.
And it's a Tech Tuesday.
Bridget Carey will be on the show also.
I am just sick to my stomach over these three children that were killed.
Imagine how awful that would be.
I truly cannot imagine it.
You say goodbye to your kids, assuming you're going to see them again in a couple of hours, and that's not going to happen. And what is sadder or more tragic than that? Nothing.
And, Steve, I heard you mention in the news that the stop sign was up. I have to say, when you see a school bus stopped and you see sometimes the stop sign is out on the bus, sometimes it is not.
Mm-hmm.
If you're following the bus and the stop sign comes out, you stop.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming from the other way, you stop. But I have to be 100% honest with you, until about maybe 10, 11 years ago, I did not know that.
And then how did you learn that?
The bus driver totally screamed and swore at me. And I'm like, what? When the stop sign's up, everything stops. And I'm only revealing my ignorance because I want to help other people. It makes sense. The stop sign's up. You stop in both directions because if a kid is crossing the street,
right,
you need a stop sign. But a lot of people think if they're coming from the other direction, they don't have to stop. I don't know if this is the case, but I'm just putting it out there.
Well, it's we're waiting to get some details from police. This may well have been a rural area. I mean, it was a school bus after all. It was the road is described as State Road 25. The arm was down, and the other vehicle was coming in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So presumably the children were not near the door of the bus. So I don't know if they were crossing the road to get to the bus, or if the bus had stopped and they were crossing in front of the bus to cross the street. I mean, I'm trying to picture myself
sure.
how this
yeah.
might have happened. And I know they've changed, I think they change routes and they do some things like that because it's a, of course, if the kids were walking in front of the bus, they wouldn't have been blinded to the
right.
driver would have seen them.
Right.
I don't understand yet just exactly how it happened.
Under normal circumstances, the driver would have seen him, but there's so many other options now. There's people who quickly glance down at their phones
right.
or you know, things
but
that take your attention
away. But if you see a school
away.
Bus, and on a rural road, you're going to see it far in the distance.
You would imagine, yeah.
Well, it was an accident. I mean, it's completely illogical, Wendy, but it just sometimes, I guess, it just happens.
But I'm just saying, if you see a school bus, after getting yelled at by the school bus driver, the stop sign or the arm, there's like a gate too.
Yeah.
You stop in both directions. I truly didn't know that.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in situations that go either way. I've been in hundreds of situations where cars on both sides of the road stop. I've been in hundreds of situations where traffic on the opposite side of the road just continues. And I have to say, I kind of fall into form of whatever everybody else is doing. I don't pull over on my own if nobody else is, but if others are, I do. But you're right. I think the law dictates you have to stop on both sides, I think.
What is the rule for stopping? For all vehicles must stop at least 10 feet upon meeting from either direction.
So I've found now, and it looks like South Bend TV, they have a fuller account, and the children were crossing the street. It was a pickup truck. Fulton County, Indiana. Four kids were hit by a pickup truck while crossing the street this morning. Looking at the pictures, too, it was a very early situation. It was dark there still.
Oh, boy.
Next week we're going to change the clocks where
right.
would have likely been daylight at this time.
And it used to be this past weekend
right.
that we changed it.
Right.
Yeah. Do we know, Steve, if any of the kids are in the same family? Does
they
that
are.
Mean,
they are. Well,
they're all in the same family?
I thought I heard that.
At least three, Wendy, but I think the reporting is perhaps all four.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this you know, again, I had friends who were hit by a school bus in a situation very much like this when I was a kid. And, you know, they're rural roads.
Yeah.
So it probably, you know, if this isn't like a city bus route, I'm assuming now. These are assumptions. Everyone goes to a corner,
mm-hmm.
that may have been the case, but it may well have been that this bus was picking them up at the end of a lane, too, or outside their house.
Yeah.
And it was just the four of them.
Yeah. What a horrible day.
I can't even imagine it.
Yeah. Awful.
All right, well, be careful out there and pay attention to school buses.
Do we want? There's a couple of calls that.
Just one more. I'm sorry. Yeah, I keep correcting Steve. Myself.
That's all right.
But no, we need you to.
The police are saying that three of the four are from the same family,
they
so
are.
Not all four.
All right.
Hi, Kathy. How are you today? This is terrible news.
Yes, it's terrible news. My heart is breaking. I am a school bus driver, have been for 15 years, worked for Lake Central School Corporation out in Northwest Indiana. We had a special mandatory safety meeting yesterday just on this fact. My boss said, I do not want to lose a child this way. I do not want it to be on my watch. But it is the law. It is a federal law. It's not a state law. It's not a local issue. It is federal. If a bus, school bus is stopped with that stop arm out and those lights flashing, you stop both ways. The only way you're free of it, if it's divided road, then you don't have to, but you would probably still be wise to watch for children.
And what if a school bus is stopped and the stop sign or the arm has not been extended? Then just proceed with caution?
Proceed with caution. Anytime you see a school bus stopping, proceed with caution. Because it's going to involve children. That's what we do. We transport children.
Kathy, in Wendy's case, she had a bus driver physically yell at her.
Thankfully, it was a guy. But I didn't know.
But you didn't know. But do you do anything to let other drivers know that in the future?
I have opened my window and hit my stop sign at drivers.
Yeah.
To let them know. But no, I'm not a yelling type person. I might sound very loud, but I'm not the type who yells at drivers.
But you have to educate sometimes, and you know,
I'm embarrassed
like
I didn't know that.
No.
I got my driver's license. You read the rules of the road, you know that, but for some reason you think if it's on the other side, it doesn't apply to you because the stop sign is not facing you.
Is your route?
And those are little children.
I know.
Is your route created in a way? I thought that they had changed the route so the children didn't cross streets. Is that part of?
No, that's not true.
That's not true.
Sometimes that's not possible
in all areas. I drive a special needs bus, so I only have four or five children on my bus at a time. And because it's a special needs bus, we do pick them up where no one crosses the road. But for the large population, no, they cross roads.
They do cross roads, okay.
We appreciate the phone call, Kathy. Thanks for weighing in on this.
You're welcome.
All right, have a good week. Other people want to talk about this, we would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there.
I pondered voting early, but I want to be involved in all the hoopla of going on election day.
Yeah,
I love seeing my ladies that are there in the precinct.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of older women with a young guy, and they have fun. They do.
Are you talking about a pay-per-view event or election day?
Stop it. No, but you're used to seeing a lot of older women that sit there, you know, reminding me of they were room mothers probably when their kids were in school.
Yeah.
And they're there, and then some young dude has been there the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Probably in his early 30s.
There's always a couple seconds of not complete joy, but mild joy when they find your name on the list. You just see them get very excited. It's alphabetical, so it's not the hardest thing in the world to do, but there's always just a second of, there you are. We found your name.
They can never find me.
Why not?
Because with my married name, McInerney, sometimes there's MC Space, sometimes there's MCI.
Sometimes there's MC Hammer. And that's when you get excited.
Can't vote this. Yeah, so that is November 6th. I heard a couple of people on the morning show, on the Steve Cochran show, Mary Sandberg and Pete Zimmerman voted early.
They've already voted. At my health club, there was a big drive over the weekend. There were people outside saying, if you haven't early voted, we can make it happen for you. They were very excited to try to make it happen there at the club.
What? Because I thought it was like pre-registered places to do early voting. What, can you do it on the treadmill?
I think, well, this was at at my tennis club where I play tennis.
Okay.
So they had a little table set up where you had to, you know, just let them know that you were there and you were registered and prove it somehow. And then they would make it happen for you. But like you, I would rather go on election day. I'm not sure what the advantages of going early, but
just in case you're busy and in case the polls are crowded.
Yeah, I guess.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I enjoy seeing the people.
Right.
Now, may I ask a question? And Bertrand will probably have the answer to this. You may not. I don't.
My money's on Steve, actually.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you have to declare a Republican or Democrat for midterms?
No, never.
Okay. I was just...
Well, I mean, in a primary is the only time you... And you don't really declare, you just choose a ballot.
Right, okay.
So, you know, sometimes there's a Republican race that I'm particularly interested in, you could pull a Republican or a Democratic if not.
Or you don't have to vote for everyone, right, Steve?
No, you don't have to.
Like if you say, I don't want to vote for governor, you don't have to.
No, you don't have to vote for everyone on the ballot, no. But yeah, so you go in, it's a completely closed ballot, Wendy. They don't know if you're...
Okay.
Everyone, I should say it this way, everyone has the same ballot in the midterms. Primaries, you can choose a different ballot.
My son Michael's 19. He voted in the last election, but he hasn't done one of these, so he didn't know, and he was asking me, and
I... Was he 17 in the last election?
Yes.
And he voted at 17?
He voted for, I don't know, there was some election. What was
last? Maybe it was the primary.
It was the primary.
Oh, yeah. For the primary. Yeah. Old enough.
But I think also you can, now in Illinois, you can vote at 17 if you're going to be 18 by the general election. You can vote in the primary.
Oh.
That's, I think, what it was.
He
has a late birthday, yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So I didn't know what to tell him. So you just go in, everybody gets the same ballot. And boy, will I be happy when these ads stop running. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, I watch very little TV, commercial TV where the ads are. So I just see them at work. You know, I'm not hearing them. I'm seeing them on monitors. It's amazing the tone of these ads
and the
things they say about each other. It's just amazing.
Well, that's my question also is, does it have to be true to be in an ad? Because some of this stuff has been misproven. And it sounds like the announcer for these ads for both sides is the same dude.
There's an angry guy who does a bunch, and then there's an angry woman who does a bunch.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about her.
So that must be a fun casting call when you're just in a room
full of angry. Why don't they hire me? I can give you an angry woman.
I like, there's a tone to some of the ads which give the impression, they show an actuality of a person who's an Illinois citizen. And if the person who becomes governor is not the person that person wants to be governor, they're seriously thinking about leaving the state. They just stare at the camera and they go, we just may leave Illinois. And I go, well, I don't care. Go.
And Bob Schneider is accosting everybody. It's like the dude is just trying to make the donuts.
Yeah.
Schneider.
Oh, sorry.
Brad Schneider.
Didn't work.
Damn, he put all that money in those ads.
Well, I just know Schneider because I hate when people call me Schneider.
Oh. Explain this to me. We have a couple of houses near us, and their entire lawn is campaign banners.
How's that look?
People.
Pretty decorations?
Doesn't look as pretty as it sounds, but I always say to myself, who would just be driving down the road and say, well, I don't know who lives in that house, but they're voting for that guy, so I think I will too. Do those signs influence a single person anywhere?
No, but if you're proud of something, you put it out there.
It's not going to influence anybody.
Well, I don't know, Bill. I mean, I think that they put the names in people's heads, you know, so that then when you see it on a ballot or when you see it subsequently, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife last night was, you know, really doing her work. She was on a few websites researching candidates and all that.
Good for her.
Absolutely great. But, I mean, most of us don't do that. I mean, I'm even less aware this time than I have in the past, but... So if you're just going to show up at the polling place and not know the names, yeah, I think seeing those blue signs with, you know, someone's name on them do have an impact.
I would never be in a polling booth, though, where I go, oh, that guy seems good, that guy seems good. Hey, I passed by a house a couple blocks away, and they like Harmon, so I'm voting Harmon. I would never do that.
No, but I think you might sit there and say, man, I saw a lot of Harmon signs. Or who is this Harmon?
That
it might raise their
yeah, I get I, to some extent, but I just I don't know if
do
the payoff
really,
is what it should be.
Do
for,
you really crave a McRib until you know their back, Bill?
No,
that is the best point ever,
and that's who I'll end up voting for is
right,
the McRib.
It's
for
hockey and McRib; they go together. When hockey season starts, the McRib is available. But you are so right with the McRib. I saw the sign yesterday. Like I don't even really like them, but I have to get one now. I'm so impressionable. I just put Bill Left Rocks on my front
lawn.
You put
that on yours?
Yeah,
well, thank you for doing
a
that.
Sign.
Hope I get a couple votes this time around. It's been a rough couple of campaigns for me. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a little break. Steve will give you the news.
Who's coming up on the show, Bill?
Wendy, it's funny you ask that because there's a multitude of people. Bridget Carey will be on because it's Tech Tuesday. We'll have a guy with a very strange hitchhiking story. And yes, there's a celebrity involved. And then one of the top comics of all time, Robert Klein, will join us. So all that's ahead. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder.
It's Tech Tuesday, and we'll talk to Bridget Carey about the world of technology in just a little bit. But first, I found something, Wendy, that is kind of in that same area. Walmart says that they are eliminating the most dreaded part of holiday shopping. So before I tell you how they're fixing that, tell me if your idea of the most dreaded part of holiday shopping and mine are the same. What do you think would be the most dreaded part of holiday shopping?
For them or for the customer?
For the customer.
Doorbusters.
Doorbuster sales? No more doorbuster sales?
People jaw bust. I mean, it's crazy.
Paying for things?
Yes, Steve.
All right.
They're going to allow Her shoplifting this holiday season. They're the first major store to say, yeah, if you find it and you can fit it in your purse, please. No, that's not it. They say that the biggest complaint they get during the holiday season is long lines at the checkout counter.
Oh, yeah, that's a pain in the ass.
So how will they eliminate this?
More registers.
Not more registers, but people will walk around. Walmart employees will walk around with handheld devices. And you can approach them and say, I'm done. I have the 11 items that I want to purchase. You don't have to wait in line.
They sell those in aisle 32, by the way. Handheld devices.
Yes, they do that at Sam's Club.
Do they?
If the lines are long, they take a little computerized handheld thing and they ring up. I don't know. You
what
can't
if you're
pay
paying
there.
In cash? Oh, you can't? What do you?
No, I think they ring it up. So then when you get to the counter, you don't have to unload all your stuff on the conveyor belt. You can just present them with the thing, and that makes the line move 100 times quicker.
Oh, that's interesting.
No one pays with cash except you.
I do pay in cash.
Really?
A lot, yeah.
I never have cash on me.
No?
I'm going almost fully now to Apple Pay.
Why, Steve? Is there a reason?
Easy.
Is it what it is?
So easy. You don't have to wait for your chip to be read.
Yeah.
It's much quicker.
If you forget your wallet at home, boom, you got your phone. You never forget that.
Oh, that's true, I guess.
But it's just more convenient. It's less messy.
Walmart says they want to help shoppers avoid the long checkout lines this holiday season. For the first time, the company is giving employees in their busiest sections of their stores...
Toys.
Yeah, I would imagine
Sporting
electronics.
Goods. Yeah.
Right? Toys. Yeah, that would probably be right.
The fabric section.
Yep. I need 3 yards of gingham and I need it fast.
Mixed nuts.
Right. Right? The power to process shoppers' purchases using mobile devices. These employees will be able to swipe customers' credit cards or debit cards and then provide paper receipts using Bluetooth printers strapped onto their waists. That's where I keep my utility belt. I don't have time for a printer.
They have it on theirs.
Oh, they have it on theirs. Okay.
What's that coming out of your waist?
It's meant to allow shoppers purchasing a small number of items the chance to bypass long lines at store registers. Who determines what a small amount of items is?
Well, probably the express lane, like 15 and under.
Is that what it is?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're running in for a computer game,
right?
How beautiful is that? And then you
pretty
just
great.
Swipe it and you're out.
Yeah, I guess
not
that would
swipe
be,
it in the way
well,
of
we're going back
ripping
to
it off.
It. Right, right.
Swipe your card.
Yeah.
I hope Steve meant. I hope. Walmart started testing the service called Check Out With Me.
I hope they have a computerized greeter that comes on the screen to say, welcome.
You're not a real old man. You're a computerized old man. They started using the device Check Out With Me in the lawn and garden departments of three. Is that their busy section?
Oh, in the summer? Yeah.
Yeah.
And for all the Christmas decoration, that's where they put all their Christmas stuff.
Yep. You're right. They started checking them out using the checkout devices in the lawn and garden departments of 350 stores earlier this year. Walmart is also touting its newly updated website this holiday season, which now features more curated content and an expanded assortment of products. The company said it has added more than 2,000 brands to its site since just last year, including more than 150 upscale fashion lines offered through a partnership with Lord & Taylor.
In cahoots?
With Lord & Taylor, I guess. Are Lord & Taylor stores still up or not? They are. Walmart also said that its toy department will feature 30% new toys in stores and 40% more toys online compared to last year.
You know why?
I was just thinking, if they don't if they're not taking advantage of Toys R Us's demise, they're making a serious mistake. They have to, right? This is the first year without a Toys R Us at Christmas, and it feels wrong.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Well, it hurts, Dr. Phil. Yes.
It was supposed to be Mr. Rogers.
Oh, was it?
It was very bad.
But when I pass by one now, there's a moment of silence. It's like, how can it be Christmas without Toys R Us being up and around? That seems odd.
Well, whatever happened with Toys R Us coming back?
They were looking at, and they're still looking at, putting them in other stores, like you would rent out space. Toys R Us, the corporation, and it's called Jeffrey's Toy Box is their new name.
Of course you know that.
So, I do know that. So their plan is you find a store, a big store, and then you rent out a little bit of space, much like Toys R Us did themselves with FAO Schwartz. I don't know if you noticed, but the last couple of years during Toys R Us's run, there was an aisle or two that was FAO Schwartz.
That's interesting. There's also news I heard today that Carson Peary Scott, Carson's, is reopening Evergreen Park store on Black Friday.
Just the one store?
That's
or more
what I'm
stores
said, according
that?
To the Chicago Tribune. It will mark the return of the department store's brick-and-mortar presence after it shuttered all locations in bankruptcy in August. But now this is just confusing to me because remember Sears had a grand reopening in Oakbrook and they were coming off of a bankruptcy.
Right.
Reopened. Frank Fontana was out there with Jacqueline Smith.
And that's a month ago, right?
Yeah. And now they're in trouble again?
But you can't blame all store closings on Frank Fontana.
No, I wasn't doing that. But I have Carson's.
What other ones has he closed?
Well,
that's the only one.
Really, Brent's Bookstore or that Brent
Venture? No?
Venture was
that
gone?
Closed because
what's
of
Brent's
Frank?
Bookstore.
Oh, it was a bookstore.
Crocs
chain.
And Brentano's.
Right? Yeah, oh, I loved gone. Crocs and Brentano's.
That was until Frank came along.
Yeah, he's ruined it for a lot of big businesses
because he doesn't read.
I know.
All right, that's enough.
Now you've
I
gone
love
too
my
far.
Frank Fontana.
That's where Wendy draws the line, Steve. Do not criticize his reading technique. Do not.
But so I have some gift cards from Carson's that I held on to too long. And when I saw everything on sale, this store is closing, I went to use them. And they said, I'm sorry, you had to have used them back in August. And, you know, we will not be accepting them. But I didn't throw them out. They're still in my wallet because I never clean out my purse. So now that they're open, can I go on Black Friday and use them?
I wonder. I would try it. Yeah, you have nothing to lose. Give it a shot.
See, it pays to not clean out your purse.
Except, I don't know, like, under the new, whoever's opening Carson's up this time, is it the same people? Because it may be a different group that's, you know, moving in on their territory.
Yeah, but it's Carson's. Carson's also said on its website that it plans to reopen locations in Lombard, which is the one I went to, and Orland Park, but the company did not provide opening dates or other details for those locations.
But they begged Frank Fontana to please stay away. Do not bring a book, Frank Fontana, it says at the bottom of the ad.
I can't believe you turned on him like that, Wendy.
Right. I did nothing.
He's such a nice man. Why would you
Frank.
He's the best.
And when he's with Jacqueline?
Like a brother to me.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm not going to share my Carson's gift cards with you. Bite me, Bertrand. That's what it says on my...
on the card?
On my bumper sticker.
Oh, that seems abrupt. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Bridget Carey will join us. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And it's a Tech Tuesday. Every Tuesday, we talk to Bridget Carey, senior editor over at CNET. You can find her at CNET.com, on Twitter, at Bridget Carey, and Instagram, Bridget Happens. Apple in the news. What's going on with Apple, Bridget?
Well, they just wrapped on a event where they showed up a bunch of new gadgets. I know we feel like we just had an event because we just got the new iPhones, but they always have a separate event for their other things like iPads and laptops. And this basically was something where Apple sprinkled some iPhone X features on their new iPad Pro and MacBook Air laptop.
Apple. I honestly, do they just create more things just to keep themselves in the daily vernacular?
You know, with how much they spread it out, I know. And then especially, this is just the busy season for tech gadgets because, at least in my world, covering tech, you know, Google has an event, Apple has an event, Samsung, like they all cram it in the fall. right before the holiday shopping season, of course. So what they're really targeting right now, because all these devices that Apple just announced are going to be, you know, available to buy, but they land, I think, next week. You're having this brand new iPad high-end model. Like, we've always had, like, the $330 mainstream iPad. That was, you know, over in March. You could always, you know, get something that's around $330. But it's been over a year since they, you know, gave a boost to their high-end model. So starting at $800, this one gets rid of the home button. It has that Face ID to unlock and do payments. It also has new little things you could do with the Apple Pencil to connect it magnetically. And there's a new keyboard case, but add on another $180 if you want that. So, yeah, this is definitely a pricey gift, or for yourself if you want one. And then their MacBook Air also got some features, including the ability to do Touch ID. So instead of Face ID, it's like, you know, being able to use your thumbprint to unlock the computer. And that MacBook Air got a lot of other new features too, and it's $1,200.
Bridget, I know you cover a lot of these events when Apple or similar companies have these events. I know you show up to a lot of them. Is anything jaw-dropping anymore? There was a time where every time they would do these, people would come away going, I can't believe the technology. Does that still happen, or are we all kind of used to seeing amazing things?
I think the things that get us talking the most are, what did Apple do to require us to buy new accessories?
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe they are, you know, maybe getting rid of something or making us, you know, when it comes to the headphone jack or whatever it might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
That gets the most buzz. This time around, I think most people and the reactions I've seen online, it's that, okay, this is pretty expensive. I'm not going to jump to get this because people don't really jump for an iPad, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
What most people might care about is that if you have an iPhone or iPad already, that that there's a new operating system that's available today. I think it's iOS 12.1. It's going to have, get this, more than 70 new emoji.
Oh,
it's also
jaws dropped.
I know. See, there you go. It's also going to have group FaceTime, so you'll be able to have a FaceTime with, like, up to 30-some people. Because, you know, I'm sure you always have been dying to have a video chat with
with everyone I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to also fix a little bug that's been reported on when it comes to the iPhone XS charging. So it's, yeah, that's those things get more buzz than the actual devices, I
How
think.
How small would people's faces be, though, on your screen if there's 30 of them? It'll
I
be like watching
wait.
MSN or something, MSG or something, one of the networks. I don't know which one. MSG.
I can't wait to see how much of a mess this looks, because not only is it a lot of people, but
yeah.
those people who can also have those Animoji faces and special effects done on
yeah.
their camera. So imagine everyone having, like, an animal face.
Oh, that'd be great.
Or having black and white. Yeah, it's going to be madness.
Love the future.
I hate us now. I really do. All right, I have a couple of questions. I have an iPad, and I use it to catch up and binge watch things, because sometimes not everybody in your house wants to watch the same thing. So a lot of viewing freedom happens with an iPad. Since these new ones are coming out, are current iPads going to drop in price?
Sometimes the answer is yes. They'll stop selling some models and make a newer one, maybe the same low price that the other one was. So you're not going to see anything maybe cheaper than $330, but rather a newer model maybe drop down to that starting price. I think another thing Apple kind of is doing with this upgrade, they're kind of blurring the line of laptop and iPad. That this new iPad has an extra port in it, a USB-C port for charging or connecting to a monitor. You can tell that they really put a focus on, like, people who are kind of in this world of flexibility. Like, maybe you want to do some stuff in video editing and you want to connect it to something more, maybe not. I feel like when you can attach it to a keyboard case, we are kind of, you know, going, all right, is this a laptop or is it a, you know, tablet? Yes, it has a mobile operating system on it, but for some folks, you know, especially students, that line is blurring on what they maybe need, you know, for getting work done.
So I have to say, I am not being paid by Apple, and I'm frustrated by Apple's prices, and I'm sick of all the Apple news. That being said, I love my iPhone. It, I mean, Bill, you have jumped from a Windows phone to iPhone. Isn't this much easier to use?
It's easier, yeah.
Wow.
I still don't know what I'm doing, but it's easier to not know what I'm doing.
Okay. So, and I have an iPad as well, not a cellular one, but I really don't need it because I have a phone. And I broke down and bought a MacBook Pro several years ago, and I very rarely use my laptop because I feel you don't even really need a computer anymore if you between an iPhone and an iPad.
Yeah, it depends on what you're doing, right? Like I'm the kind of person who still wants a keyboard for writing because I'm a writer, but you can do that now with a detachable keyboard on your iPad, right? And
yeah.
So, you know, if all you're doing is using these web services, like, you know, logging onto Google for your work to save your documents, which, you know, students do all the time now, you know, do you really need an operating system that has a full Microsoft Word behind it? You know, and that's what's really changing a lot now.
And the best thing ever invented was to be able to print from your iPhone or iPad.
Wait, you can print directly from your phone?
God, will you blast into the 2000s?
How?
Well, it depends on your printer. I have an HP printer, and printers are so cheap now.
But no, there's no documentation that comes out of your phone with a printed message on it, right?
Well, you get something, like if I wanted to print an email that you sent me, it's called an air printer. You just install like HP Smart Home through the app. And I don't even think you need the app. You can just look for your wireless printer.
But it's not going to come out of your phone, right? It does?
No, it comes. Oh, my God. It comes out of the printer.
Okay. Yeah.
Bridget,
I knew that.
He hears words and he hears wah, wah, wah.
I knew that.
Explain.
Okay, there are printers that are as big as a phone that you can wirelessly connect, you know, and hold it in your hand. I see people do that when they want to print a photo from their phone. But no, nowadays you have printers that can even just, like if you have a photo on your phone, you can just print that photo, send it to your home printer, and then boom, it prints out. Or a PDF on your phone, you can boom, send it to your home printer. You just
a PBJ? Can I do one of those?
Oh,
I want to print a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You just connect
a replicator from Star Trek.
You connect it has to be an updated printer, and you connect it to your network at home, so your phone and your printer are on the same network.
Yeah.
And if you type up a document, you can just hit print.
Oh.
I can even scan things from my phone and print them.
I've seen that. All right. Wow.
You're amazed at technology.
I love that. What year is it? 1973? I love this year, Bridget. 1974 is going to be even better.
All right, if people are not going to go to the Apple event, which most people aren't, is CNET going to live blog this or simulcast this?
We have a very easy summary you could just read on our main home site right now, CNET.com, yeah.
All right, she's Bridget Carey. Thanks for explaining things
to
Bill.
Thanks for enlightening us, Bridget.
I'm always there to be your guide.
You are. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Bridget Carey, you can find her at CNET.com. She's
printable.
She
you
is.
You can print her on your phone.
Twitter, at Bridget Carey, and Instagram, Bridget Happens. Boy, you just never cease to amaze me.
Just between you and me, I still don't know the answer to, can you just hold up your phone and press a button and something you type printed comes out of your phone?
No, nothing comes out of your phone.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Who wants that? It would be tiny.
Well, yeah, but if you just need a note of some kind, nothing, you know, to turn in, nothing important, but say you just wanted to print up a note to yourself, you can't, it doesn't come out of your phone.
No.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Why don't they have that?
Because you're the only one who would use
it. I want that.
Have you ever heard of a post-it note?
No. Nope.
All right, still to come on the show, you want to, it's happening soon.
Well, later on, not right away, well, we're doing the hitchhiking story first, right? That's coming up soon.
Right.
Celebrity hitchhiking event. And then one of the best comedians of all time, Robert Klein, will join us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. Thank you, Steve.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, I don't know why our computers are malfunctioning.
Shall I sing?
Yes.
Sure.
I shall not.
Speaking of news, I saw this story in the news, and it touched close to home because it was a dude from Elmhurst. It was a musician, so I'm like, okay, let's look at this story. There's a guy named Scott Hildebrand who's been in Australia for a while, and he had to go to a wedding and didn't want to pay for an Uber or anything and didn't have a car, so he starts hitchhiking. And Scott Hildebrand, am I close to the story thus far?
Yeah. Hey, I was coming back from Mexico. And I was hitchhiking in Brisbane, Australia. So I was going back from the wedding again, trying to hitchhike from the airport to Byron Bay, where my van is parked.
Your van?
How long of a trek would that be? I'm curious, Scott.
It'd probably be 2 hours using public transportation.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be about 45 minutes.
All right.
Really, really cool.
Explain this. So you're hitchhiking, and all of a sudden, what, a car pulls up?
Yeah, yes. I was hitchhiking at the roundabout right outside of the airport, and I just rode on the side. It was my second time hitchhiking in my life. And
so you had a sign saying that? You had a sign saying something?
Yeah.
This is only the second?
Yeah, I had a sign saying Brisbane or Byron. Because either one would have been easier for the bus, and cheaper for the bus rather than taking it from the airport terminal. And 15 minutes later, this car pulls up, and there was these guys and they had surfboards, and they're like, "Yeah, we're going surfing to Byron." And I thought that was lucky enough because I was going to Byron and I love surfing as well. And it seemed pretty safe, and so I just hopped in. And then a few minutes later, they were like, "Oh, we're just going to switch." Switch vehicles, and they seemed super nice, and everything seemed normal. And then we come to this helipad around the corner from the airport, a few blocks away, and they're like, "Ever flown in a helicopter, Scotty?" And that was when I was like, "Okay, what's going on? Who are you guys?"
So by this, at this time, you didn't know who had picked you up. You're just two dudes with surfboards who seem like they're not going to kill me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had no idea.
So then you get to this helipad, which is kind of weird, and then all of a sudden you get on a helicopter, and lo and behold, did you recognize someone, or did one of the guys say, "Do you know who this is?"
Yeah. So once we went to the helipad, that was when I said, "Who are you guys?" I couldn't believe that we were flying to Byron, especially in a helicopter, and it was Chris Hemsworth, and his friend Luke was like, "This is Chris Hemsworth here, it's Thor." And I had no idea who he was at the time. I know who Thor is, but I'm not really up to date on the movies, but it was, just so surprising.
So Chris Hemsworth picks you up. Why in the world does Chris Hemsworth pick up a hitchhiker?
I have no idea. I think that they just thought it would be funny, so they went past me one time, and they saw my sign with Byron, and they're like, "Oh, we're going to Byron." They just came back from Italy for, I think they're shooting Men in Black there. And so they're just off the plane, and they're just having a laugh. And then they're like, "Well, let's make sure he's not a murderer." So they want to learn about it again. And then he's got a guitar, and he's smiling. He looks fine. This will be hilarious. And so, so Luke was kind of videoing on his phone part of the whole time. And, when I got in the car, I felt a little weird. I didn't know what was happening, but they also seemed super nice, and I thought maybe, if this is them taking the hitchhiker, but if it like 7 years old, I don't know.
Chris, how did you not notice Chris Hemsworth? He looks just like Chris Hemsworth.
I'm the worst of pop culture. I've seen old movies pretty much, and I've just been living in my van making music. I feel like I'm out of the loop with them.
He doesn't drive around dressed like Thor, though, does he?
No. I mean, looking back, it looked pretty like someone that would be famous for sure. But I thought, everyone in Byron looks like everyone's like epic surfer people,
Sure.
So you're in Australia right now, correct?
Yeah, I'm actually in Sydney now, but this happened in Brisbane about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago.
You're originally from Elmhurst. You're a musician. And so you're living in your van. Is the music thing not working out right now?
Yeah, you know, down by the river. And
is there a big music scene in Australia? Forgive me for not knowing that. I've never been there.
Yeah, there is. It's been amazing. So I've been using my van as like a tour bus, basically, and just touring the East Coast. And Melbourne, I started in Melbourne, and I've been here since January, and just been doing like self-booked tours and playing in festivals and farmers markets and busking, like street performing in the streets. And it's incredible. I've met so many musicians and played lots of shows here and wrote a bunch of songs here as well.
Are you a big Helen Reddy fan?
Oh, I don't know who that is.
All right, that's fine.
How old are you? Do you mind us asking, Scott?
No. I'm 26 or 27.
Oh, yeah.
It's 3 a.m. here, so.
All right.
Time.
I imagine you're single, maybe not anymore, but when you journeyed out there, because this is kind of, if you want a dream to just go somewhere else to another country, cruise around and sing your music, and I would imagine you're making enough money to have meals and stuff, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. It's amazing. Like, I'm making definitely enough, and, I've been living so comfortably here, and, I think the same thing would work in America too. It's just like a really, because I don't have to pay for accommodation and everything. It's a really cool setup, and I've been blown away by the support and stuff like that by people here as well for my music.
But now, Scott, you know you can't expect Chris Hemsworth to just pick up the tab on everything you do, right? You understand that. That's impossible.
Yeah,
can we go back to Luke for a second? He has a brother who's an actor named Luke. Luke Hemsworth, of course. That wasn't his brother, though. That was a friend named Luke, right?
Yeah, this is his personal trainer and long-time school friend from when they were younger.
Oh, all right. Okay, that makes sense.
And do you have CDs pressed or anything? And did Hemsworth buy one?
I gave both Luke and Chris one after we landed. We landed in his driveway, which is pretty crazy. I gave him my CDs, and they loved it. And we were just talking a bunch about my music and music in general. And after we were messaging on Instagram, and he used my song "Ready to Fly" in the video that went viral.
Oh, wow.
The one that he posted of it, which is really cool. So I've gotten a lot of cool like support and a lot of people listening to my music now.
Do you think you guys will stay in touch?
Yeah, I mean, we've messaged a few times back and forth. Like, they're in India right now. They just left a few days ago. And, I think it's for the same movie or maybe a different movie. I don't know. He's definitely super busy. But, it's been cool, like, messaging on Instagram. Who knows? Yeah, it'd be cool to see.
I hope you guys stay friends. But you got to remember, with these Avengers, they always say that they'll remain your friend, and then you never hear from them. I've had that with the Hulk.
So this is, people go on The Voice to become famous, and, you know, perhaps Blake Shelton or Kelly Clarkson's going to help with their career. Chris Hemsworth should do a reality show called The Helicopter, and
yes,
he could just have musicians come on, you know, go surfing with them, and then all of a sudden your career's going to take off.
Yeah.
Are your parents still around?
Yeah. So they live in Elmhurst, and,
we want to talk to your parents.
But here's the thing. I'm sure your mom always told you, Scott, don't ever hitchhike. But now you can kind of say right back at you, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so safe to hitchhike here. Like, I wouldn't advise people to just start hitchhiking because of this. But I think that, like, if you use your common sense, you know, be careful.
Even just walking around Australia, there's like a million things that can kill you in Australia. You know that, right?
No guns, which is
bad. No guns, but rabid wallaby everywhere you look.
I don't think they get rabies.
They did. All right.
Well, this
crazy
is
snakes and stuff everywhere.
This is kind of a dream come true. Hello to your parents in Elmhurst, and where do people follow you to hear your music? And, you know, we can say we knew you when.
Thanks. Yeah, so my music's on. If you search Scott Hildebrand, I have a website, scotthildebrandmusic.com, and I'm also on Spotify, iTunes, and, you know, all those streaming services. If you just search Scott Hildebrand, and my Instagram, Scott Hilde, H-I-L-D-E, and YouTube and Facebook, and yeah, pretty much everywhere. Scott, my website has links to all that.
Scott, other than Chris Hemsworth, if you were going to get picked up hitchhiking by any celebrity, anybody, who would it be?
Ooh, good question.
Thank you.
Probably Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger would be fun.
Right,
yeah.
On.
Absolutely.
I don't see him driving his own car, though. Don't you think he has a driver?
He's got a driver.
Oh, definitely.
It's Keith Richards.
I was always excited with my viral video. I was just thinking of all like the famous people that watched heard my song Ready to Fly, and I was like, I bet someone from the Rolling Stones heard Ready to Fly, so I'm just hoping they did.
Sure.
Well, good luck to you, and if you come back to the States, matey. No,
you need
that's
a ride.
Not,
matey, you need a ride
not.
From the airport. Yeah, one day I'll pick you up.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Well, good to meet you, Scott, and continued success. Go to ScottHildebrandMusic.com, and good luck to you.
Oh, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Scott. Take care. Good luck.
God, that is like a dream come true for a young musician.
But weren't you told as a kid, didn't your mom stress, under no circumstances, hitchhiking, not a good idea? I mean, it worked out well for him, but...
That's what I mean, and if his mom's listening right now, I mean, Mom, Scott can just go neener, neener, neener.
Yeah, he won this one. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. Stay here. It's Phil and Wendy on WG. Who writes these promos? And here's the reason I ask. Sometimes I'm critical of some of the promos we read, but yesterday there was a promo, and it didn't pop up on our show, I don't think, but I heard it on Steve's show, and I think on John Williams' show. Somebody else read it, too. And it was about the Bulls playing the Warriors, and they said that the Warriors come out and play. And do you get the reference at all?
Yeah, Warriors.
Come out and play, from the movie The Warriors. Very obscure reference for one of these promos. I don't know who wrote it, but I want to congratulate them. Well played, promo writer.
Good, because usually there are terms in there you will not read.
Sometimes they'll throw in a term that I find
get
to be...
Get your something on.
Get your... Yeah.
Get I'm your not, warrior on.
Isn't that ridiculous? Yeah, so...
It doesn't bother me.
Whoever wrote that promo, I hope they win a promy, the award for the best promos of the year, because they deserve it.
That should be an award.
Yep.
All right, Glenn has called us, 312-981-7200. Glenn, you are also a hitchhiker?
Oh, yeah. Good morning. Thank you. We were in Australia many moons ago and New Zealand, and hitchhiking is a very common form of travel there among the young people. You know, both countries relatively safe. Gun ownership is not allowed, so it's just very acceptable, and people hitchhike all the time. We hitchhike across the entire country, and it's just a great way to go. Like you said, meet a lot of different people, et cetera, et cetera.
Not nervous at all, though, Glenn? Not even a little bit nervous? You don't know these people? You're riding with them?
No, it was very... the whole atmosphere feels very, very different there.
Yeah?
And you don't have that sense of danger or paranoia like here, obviously. You know, I'm going to hitchhike here. But over there, it's just so common and acceptable. No problem.
Hmm.
I've heard that in other countries it is
it's commonplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Glenn. Nobody famous picked you up, though, huh?
Unfortunately not.
Who would you want, Glenn? I'm curious. If any celebrity, anybody living or dead, can pick you up celebrity-wise, who would it be?
Can I say this on the radio? Yeah. Ariana Grande.
Yeah, good call. Very good call.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
I don't know how she can drive with the long nails, though.
Yeah, that would be tough.
She'd
that
be a bad
be
driver.
Very tough.
Who would you want to be?
Oh, I don't know. Robert Klein. Comedian Robert Klein.
He's not listening.
Just in case. Do you remember when we were kids, when you would drive along a highway, it was commonplace. You'd always see a couple people hitchhiking along the side of the road. I don't remember the last time I saw anybody doing that.
I don't.
But is it because Uber makes it
I was just going to say, you know, we're both like kind of rolling our eyes like, oh, my God, you'd get in the car with somebody. Doesn't that make you nervous? But really, Uber and Lyft is, I mean, granted, you have an app and some kind of rating system. So, you know, that this person hasn't killed the last person
right.
that was in the car.
Well, I always ask.
You but it's kind of
anybody,
the same.
I always ask. Except that there's a record of you, if you're going through Uber or Lyft or something, there's a record of you ordering up a car with a hitchhiker. It's just a random car that's picking you up and dropping you off somewhere. I need more of a record, I think.
Unless it's Large Marge picking you up, I think you'd be okay.
You can request her. I would request her. I used to work with a guy, Dennis was his name, and Dennis picked up hitchhikers all the time. And I said, how do you do that? And he goes, makes for some interesting conversation. I guess.
See, I think you're right. I haven't seen hitchhikers in years.
Remember, it used to be if you were going anywhere, if you're on a highway, you'd look along the side of the road and there was somebody, you know, there'd be a sign.
Memphis or bust.
Memphis or bust. Yeah. It would say that.
I just always
seems
thought
extreme,
it was
extreme, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I just thought those people there were people who ran out of gas. They didn't pre-plan.
No, I think people actually said, I need to get from point A to point B. Somebody will pick me up.
That was still in the 70s, though.
Yeah.
And then, you know, free love and free rides. That was going
that
on
was
in
it.
The 70s.
One or the other.
And then the 80s, you know, there was weird parachute pants and spiky hair. No one wanted to pick anybody up.
So parachute pants ruined the hitchhiking business?
Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
It did.
Huh. All right. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show ahead. Stay here. This is Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're going to be talking to comedian Robert Klein soon. Isn't it illegal to pick up a hitchhiker?
Yeah, several texters have said, because we were talking about how when we were kids in the 60s and the 70s, it was commonplace if you were driving anywhere, you'd see a couple of people hitchhiking with always a sign that said, what, Wendy? Some city.
Or bust.
Or bust. Those were the
Paducah
options.
Or bust.
Or bust. And you didn't want to see anybody just.
What does that even mean?
Bust. Or I give up. If I don't get to Paducah, I give up. Do you want that on your head?
No.
I don't think you do.
No. Alan claims to have been picked up by a celebrity.
Oh.
What's going on, Alan?
I was hitchhiking when I went to New Cherries, and it was my first time, and Roy Leonard picked me up.
WGN's own Roy Leonard?
Roy Leonard, yes.
You were hitchhiking to school?
I was hitchhiking from school, going home.
Why didn't you take the bus or walk?
I didn't want to. I didn't want to wait in the rain.
What was the conversation like? Did he advise you that this wasn't safe, or did he talk about movies?
He talked about movies.
Did he?
He said he worked at WGN.
Wow.
And he was a nice man, wasn't he?
He sure was.
That's pretty cute.
I'm Roy Leonard. Hop in. Let's talk about Steve McQueen. That must have been quite a day.
It was.
Well, excellent.
It was really quite a day.
Well, thanks, Alan.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you calling in. That's something you'd never forget.
No.
And, you know, I never tried to hitchhike because I'm a fraidy cat is what I am. That's what I'm going to go as tomorrow for Halloween.
Are you going to be a fraidy cat tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
But there was a constant, I don't know about your parents, my mom and dad, like anytime we saw a hitchhiker, they would tell you the story of, well, I hope that person gets to where they're going because more than likely they'll be picked up by an axe murderer.
Right. Wait, she didn't think the hitchhiker was an axe murderer? She thought someone who was picking him up would be.
Whoever the person picking up the hitchhiker
it is an
probably,
easy target.
Yeah. And speaking of Roy Leonard, if you see enough movies, you see that almost any time somebody is hitchhiking and picked up, it almost always ends in disaster. There's a couple of times where it hasn't, but it almost always ends poorly.
Was it a Twilight Zone or an Alfred Hitchcock, the hitchhiker where the guy was hitchhiking and somebody didn't pick him up and the hitchhiker waved to him and then he got further on his route, this person driving, and again this
saw
hitchhiker was there. I think he was I think he was dead. I think that's what was going on.
Oh, was a dead guy hitchhiking?
No, I think the driver kept seeing this.
Oh, the apparition.
You don't remember that?
I don't think I've seen that one.
There was somebody really famous in that.
There was a movie called The Hitcher. I want to say Rutger Hauer and the great C. Thomas Howell, one of our finest actors of all time.
Oh, Ponyboy.
Yeah, yeah.
Love him.
Yeah, and I think they had a hitchhiking encounter that wasn't what you would hope. I don't want to, spoiler alert, I know a lot of people have that in their queue, so I don't want to ruin it.
It was Inger Stevens in The Hitchhiker on the Twilight Zone.
Oh, love Inger Stevens.
So do I. Katie, the
farmer's
daughter. Are you proud of me right now?
Who did she, just between you and I, not for air, what celebrity did she allegedly, wink wink, have an affair with? Famous celebrity.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Nope. Baba Boo.
Really?
Bing Crosby. Yeah.
Good for
allegedly,
her.
We will say allegedly. Because I know Ben Crosby's lawyers listen to the show.
Well, she's the one driving who keeps seeing the hitchhiking man.
Oh, I don't think I ever...
Oh,
man, that
it's
was a Twilight
so good.
Zone?
Yeah, it was a Twilight Zone. I don't think I ever saw that. 1960. Air date was January 22nd, 1960.
Did it end the way many Twilight Zone episodes end, with them finding out that it's been planet Earth the whole time?
And she broke her glasses.
Yes. That's how a lot of Twilight Zone episodes end. All right. Robert Klein joining us in just a little bit.
I drink alone.
Oh, well, mics are on, Wendy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mics are on. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. So glad that you're listening. We are just moments away, fingers crossed, from talking to Robert.
I think it's coming
Robert.
Right now.
Is that true? Is that
true? Oh, Billy. You being in stand-up comedy, you have a different love and admiration for Robert Klein.
Yes. From the first time I saw him on The Tonight Show, a 9-year-old version of me declared him a genius at the age of 9. I don't know if that's even worth telling him, because for a lot of geniuses, having a 9-year-old declare you a genius, no big deal.
But no, I think that would mean a lot to him.
Yeah?
There's this new documentary/movie that he is featured in, and all these other comics are talking about how he inspired them. So I think he'd be thrilled to find out that a 9-year-old was inspired by him.
If only he were here, Wendy. If only he were here. Ladies and gentlemen, comedian, actor, writer, composer, singer, and a man who's had leg issues for over a half a century, Robert Klein. Robert, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you all?
We're doing great. We are so happy you're with us today. We were talking before you came on. Bill's done stand-up comic for many years, and at the age of 9, Robert Klein inspired you?
I saw you on The Tonight Show, Robert, and you were doing a bit about, you did a whole episode of The Little Rascals.
Oh, yes. Right. Hal Roach owned 4 pieces of music, and he used it in all of their films. You see them, you hear it in Laurel and Hardy and The Little Rascals, yes.
I remember a year ago, Robert, Jerry Seinfeld said that you are the Beatles of comedy. When you hear accolades like that, what does that do to you?
You're saying about the Beatles thing?
Yeah. He called you the Beatles of comedy.
Yeah, that was wonderful. You know, Jerry has said that publicly many times. You know, those guys, Bill Maher and Jon Stewart, Leno, they were all in high school or college. Like Leno says in that movie, in the documentary about me, which is, by the way, called Robert Klein Still Can't Stop His Leg. it's on the Stars Network, I guess, for another 5 months window, but... you know, they heard the second album, which was Mind Over Matter, which I did stuff about Watergate, and these guys were all sort of interested in the political aspect a little bit too, and so that sort of sparked them, so they say. But anyway, it's very flattering to hear all these terrific comedians saying those lovely things about me.
Are you a little weirded out about Jay Leno having your picture on his ceiling? Because that's kind of weird.
His last show, and Billy Crystal was sitting there. He said, you had this disgusting apartment in Boston, and you had, you know, an outdoor deck chair or something, and only one thing on the wall, a poster of Robert Klein from Child of the 50s, which was my first album. Very funny. Believe me, they were... see, Leno had the best remark, I think, in the movie, when he said, you know, when you're a kid in rural Massachusetts, you're interested in comedy, your mother's friends try to say, is he still interested in that? Like, you know, you hope he gives it up. And he said, you could point to Robert Klein. He was normal. He went to college, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I thought that was very sweet, because comedian wasn't a profession, really, when I started. Of course it was a profession, but, you know, the guys with cufflinks and tuxedos.
Sure.
Many of them were funny, and certainly I was preceded by some comedians who said things. Certainly Lenny Bruce and Jonathan Winters
were my absolute models. Jonathan was a one-man show, a brilliant improviser. I spoke at his memorial. He was also a wonderful man. And totally apolitical. Lenny Bruce, of course, pushed the envelope. And it was his own one-man show. And I think that it became something worth doing and more important in my eyes, you know, than just a guy telling girlfriend jokes with cufflinks. That's what I think.
Robert, a couple years ago, David Letterman announced that he was leaving The Late Show. And for the last year, he had kind of a farewell tour of comics, his favorites, guys that were popular in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. And they'd all come on. And I got to be honest with you, a lot of times they lost a step or two. They weren't as magical as they used to be. You come on and you tore the place to shreds. What were you doing differently that the other guys weren't doing?
You know what? I never stopped working. I did a show Saturday night at the Paramount Theater in Peekskill, New York, which is not far from where I live. I'm looking at, are you in that beautiful studio with the glass wall looking out on Michigan Avenue?
Unfortunately, the Tribune Tower was sold, so we are over on Wacker Drive on the 18th floor.
Oh.
Beautiful, but not the same. Lost some of the tradition.
No. You know what? Working and never losing. I obviously am not, you know, I had my day. A lot of young people who see me on Will and Grace don't, you know, or one of the movies, some of them don't even know I do stand-up. But I never stop working, and I think it keeps, show business has a kind of youthful effect. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Keeps me busy. I do the Will and Grace. And by the way, it's on November 1st, the first episode that I'm in this year. A very interesting one, too, with a kind of serious theme in the insanity, the half hour. You know, I've been at 53 years since Fred Willard and I, the great Fred Willard.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just lost his wife, Mary, after so many years. And I reported for work on Well Street to Second City in March of 1965. That's 53 years ago.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
I saw David Steinberg. I did his serious radio show. He was the star of the place when I got there. You know, it's been a wonderful ride, and I don't see any point in stopping. I don't have the kind of schedule I used to have, but I still like it. I work with a trainer. Getting old sucks. I mean, it is not, you know, the discount at the movies is hardly worth it.
Can I ask you a question about your
sex? I refuse to admit, you know, the other day on my way to Los Angeles, I said, is it true if you're over 75, you don't have to take off your shoes? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, okay, I admit it. I'm over, you know, it was worth it.
For that, well, yeah.
Robert, can I ask you a question about...
There is a certain kind of, you know, a satisfaction. And really, Second City, Chicago, boy, that was it for me. That was more valuable than the Yale Drama School or anything else. It was absolutely the greatest and has become a worldwide enterprise.
And because you weren't learning it, you were doing it.
Yes. I mean, improvising and doing set pieces, which is acting, memorizing lines and doing it. And the atmosphere at that time in Chicago, you know, I was, what was I, 23, I guess, you know.
Wow.
It was so exciting. First of all, I had been there once. I did a performance for one of my Yale professors. We did a medieval, seriously, a 10th century religious musical drama at the at chapel at the University of Chicago, you know, with great hits like Dominus Confite. Remember that one from 1312?
Love that one.
Yeah.
Love that one.
I'd never been really, except, you know, I explored for 2 days in Chicago when I was a kid, my first time, I think, west of New Jersey. And I really loved my year in Chicago. It was a tremendous growth year. I mean, beautiful girls and smart people.
Sure.
And Second City was like just all of Well Street, actually. you know, James Cotton. I'd see great musicians and, you know, Barbara's Bookstore. You know, it was a kind of a miniature Greenwich Village.
Yeah. Yep.
To me, that's the way it felt. You know?
Robert, was there a rivalry? You mentioned David Steinberg, and I've read accounts that even though you guys were on stage together, there was something of a rivalry. Did you see it that way?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
We talked about it the other day on the radio. When I got there, he was already there. And, you know, I was talented, but rough. I mean, I didn't know the ropes of Second City and all that. And he was like a drill sergeant, not in commands, but just wiping the floor with me on the stage. I learned a lot from that. And then he went to London to do Second City at the West End there. And I and Fred Willard, who never had a problem to begin with, I really began to grow. So when David came back, I felt, you know, more on equal footing. We're fine. He is about as good as I ever saw on that stage. He, you know, he was a, you know, amazing command.
Yeah.
Little guy there would stand there and with the gesture of his head.
Yeah.
There's certain things I told him that I really learned from him, but that is long gone. I remember him shooting baskets at Warner Brothers. I was on a break from something. I think, remember that show he used to do, Sisters?
Sure.
Yeah, and there he was shooting baskets. He was a pretty good basketball player for a guy that short. Like Ralph Lauren. I remember him from my old neighborhood. You know, his name is Ralph Lipschitz.
Oh, really? I did know that.
You know that?
Yeah. You know what
you
else?
You wear a Lipschitz. I mean... Jacques Lipschitz was a great sculptor, and he kept his name. But anyway, yeah. Ralph Lauren, too, was 5'5 or so, and he was a terrific basketball player.
How about that?
Steinberg and I were talking while he was shooting baskets, and, you know, we hugged, and it's so years behind. But it was a tense rivalry for a while, but, you know, it didn't infect the work. It happens sometimes with creative people.
Sure.
And also, her ego's involved, competition. You know, when I was sitting there nominated for a Tony Award for their playing a song, and the screen is split with the four of us in our tuxedos with that fake smile, which you hope the other guy wins smile, you know?
Sure, right. Sure.
You don't deserve it. You know, I hope the other guy dropped dead on the way to the podium. And they have a second placer. You know, a certain amount of that. On the other hand, I looked at him, and I just had dinner with Fred out in Los Angeles. We've all grown old together. It went by pretty quickly, 53 years. All of us made it.
Yep. And deservedly so.
We were talented, and we knew it, and in our own way, and we all... made money and I got fame. And
changed comedy. You guys literally changed the game of comedy.
Well, I don't know about that. All I know is that we all did what we wanted to do and loved it. And I shouldn't even put it in the past tense.
Right.
You know, we love it.
You're all still working.
David did a lot of directing. Fred was in, you know, those Christopher Guest movies. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Best in Show, he improvised all of those things. All he did, they showed him a picture of a dog, and he went to town. So, and I am a comedy legend.
Yes, you are, sir. Yes, you are. Robert, at some point, I need to, at some point, please, if you're in Chicago, stop by. I need to meet you in person. You have made me laugh 1,000 times, and you're just so good at what you do.
Thank you so much.
And then I'll get a chance to talk to you if you're in town, because Bill kind of hogged this one.
I did. I took most of it, Robert. I couldn't help myself.
All right. Well, the thing is, you know, I used to do a Fahey Flynn impression.
Oh, you did?
Are you young enough? You
know,
we know the
Fahey.
Bow tie.
Yeah.
No, my favorite was Len
O'Connor.
Hardly moved his mouth.
Len O'Connor?
Len O'Connor. He never smiled. And Len O'Connor. And ho-ho-ho, everybody! The guy that did the Cubs game.
Jack Brickhouse.
Jack Brickhouse.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
A real Chicagoan doesn't say Chicago. A real Chicagoan says Chicago. That's all I'll say.
Well, we love you, and you got to see Robert Klein. Still can't stop his leg. It, I believe, premiered in March. It's on Stars, but hurry because it's not going to be there forever. And we'll look for you on Will and Grace on the 1st.
Okay, thanks so much.
We love you, Robert. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Take care, Robert Klein.
All right, we have got to catch up. Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening, WGN Radio.